do your best to get here before winter. Eubulus sends you greetings, and so do Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and all brothers and sisters. May the Lord be with your spirit, and may his grace be with all of you. That's 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 22. What a conclusion, and I find it quite fascinating, all the personal details that Paul is sharing. And we might wonder, well, why is that included? Well, because it shows that God is interested in our situations. He will be with us in our circumstances. And Paul had experienced this in a most incredible way. And yet he had also experienced horrible circumstances in his life. And yet there is not one time that he ever complains. In fact, he continues to praise God. So, even though Paul knew now his time was very short, he still has his victorious attitude because he knows the good things that are coming next. But he's still concerned about others, and he continues to lift up their ministries, and his prayer is for them, and he's also wanting to help whoever he can. And it's interesting, he says to bring Mark, and if you know anything about Paul and Mark, they had a falling out in one of the missions, and yet now they're obviously back together. And so Paul still knows he's got some things to do. He doesn't know exactly when his time will end, and so in the meantime, he wants to just keep pressing on. What an encouragement for us. So anyway, that's my first point here. Paul fought a good fight. You know, when we look at the list of trials, and I've shared this more than once, I'm not going to go through it here this morning, where he lists in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 all the details of the things he had been through. Well, not all of them, but quite a list of them. It is quite a perspective that he is exhibiting in this time of his life, and what a great lesson for us. You know, he was in prison for several years, and yet he knows he will be victorious. His first imprisonment occurred in Philippi, which we read about, and I want to share that here because I think it's very significant, in Acts chapter 16. One day, as we were going down to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit that enabled her to tell the future. She earned a lot of money for her masters by telling fortunes. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God, and they have come to tell you how to be saved." Now, this is fascinating because she's got a demonic spirit, and yet she's actually saying this. We're not told exactly why, but anyway, she continued to do that. Says this went on day after day until Paul got so exasperated that he turned and said to the demon within her, "I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of her." And instantly it left her. Her master's hope of wealth were now shattered, so they grabbed Paul and Silas and dragged them before the authorities at the marketplace. "The whole city is in an uproar because of these Jews," they shouted to the city officials. "They are teaching customs that are illegal for us Romans to practice." A mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten, and then they were thrown into prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape, so the jailer put them in the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in stocks. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. He assumed the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself. But Paul shouted to him, "Stop! Don't kill yourself! We're here! All here!" The jailer called for lights and ran to the dungeon and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved along with everyone in your household." And they shared the word of the Lord with him and with all who lived in his household. Even at that hour of the night, the jailer cared for them and washed their wounds. Then he and everyone in his household were immediately baptized. He brought them into his house and set a meal before them. And he and his entire household rejoiced because they all believed in God. The next morning, the city officials sent the police to tell the jailer, "Let these men go." So the jailer told Paul, "The city officials have said you and Silas are free to leave. Go in peace." But Paul replied, "They have publicly beaten us without a trial and put us in prison, and we are Roman citizens. So now they want us to leave secretly? Certainly not. Let them come themselves to release us." Well, when the police reported this, the city officials were alarmed to learn that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens. So they came to the jail and apologized to them. Then they brought them out and begged them to leave the city. When Paul and Silas left the prison, they returned to the home of Lydia. There they met with the believers and encouraged them once more. Then they left town. That's Acts 16, 16 through 40. A couple of things fascinate me here. One is how the jailer responded. I mean, he obviously realized and accepted the message that Paul and Silas were bringing. But these city officials didn't, even after all that they had done, and knowing that they had done something that could have been severe consequences for them. But no, they want them out of here. Get out of here. We don't want you around. So it's interesting how people respond differently to the circumstances in their life. And it has to do with the condition of the heart, obviously. And it's just one of those things that in some ways I guess is a mystery, but it's the way it is. We make decisions and choices, each one of us. And that's why it's important that we be open to what God is wanting us to do and make sure that we're not hardening our hearts so that we're open to all of it. Well, later in his missionary journeys, Paul would be arrested and taken into custody in Jerusalem by the Roman authorities because of what was happening. And in Acts 23:35, it mentions his imprisonment in Caesarea. And the governor said, "I will hear you when your accusers also have come." And he commanded them to keep him in Herod's palace. So Paul remained in custody in Caesarea for a period of 2 years, waiting for his trial. And finally, Governor Felix would show up. And during this time, he had opportunities to go ahead and share the testimony and defend his faith about Jesus before Felix and the other officials arrived. Again, Paul isn't sitting in prison having a pity party. Nope, he is taking an opportunity to be able to share the gospel and what God is doing in his life. Then after this, he was brought to trial, and the Jewish authorities wanted him to be taken back to Jerusalem to stand trial because on the trip, they planned to kill him. That's how much they hated him. And but he appealed to Caesar, and that is why he is now in prison in Rome. And at that time, the governor would say, you know, if he hadn't appealed to Caesar, we could release him. But he had to go to Caesar because he made that appeal. And he did that to prevent them from taking him to Jerusalem. Whether he had guidance from the Holy Spirit or not, we don't know. But what a wonderful example Paul gives us, and it should really be an encouragement to us. And that example should help us to remain faithful as we live our life here. The truth is, probably most of us, if any of us, will ever go through what Paul went through. I mean, things could change, obviously. We live in a wicked world, and things are getting worse. We're seeing that all the time. So we don't know what may be coming down our way. But in the meantime, we want to have the same mentality that he had, learn from his example. Yes, life can be hard, but the Spirit is always with us. And when we are seeking to be filled with the Spirit, as we should be, he will be giving us both the empowerment to live the way we should and the wisdom to make right decisions. So we have to constantly be seeking him every day. It's not like a vaccination, you know, you get it once and you're good to go. No, it's one of these things where we have to constantly be seeking his help because, for one thing, God wants to fellowship with us. And the other thing is that we're in process. We're learning. And the more we know through the experiences of this life, the better we will understand God and the closer we will come to him. You know, it's really fascinating to me how when Jesus was here, he promised to send the Holy Spirit to help us. At the Last Supper, he said this to his disciples, "There's so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me." John 16:12-15. Now, while he was being specific about certain things with his disciples who would become apostles, this is still true for us. Jesus is sending his Spirit to communicate with us, and he will help us to see how we need to deal with the future, because he knows the future, and he is helping to prepare us for what will be coming. And the amazing thing was that what Jesus had predicted here became a reality on the day of Pentecost. For we read, "On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each one of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers." That's Acts 2:1-16. There were over at least 16 nationalities that are listed. I'm not going to read those, but they were all hearing the message that they were saying. We're not told exactly what it was they were saying, but they were understanding everything that they were saying that the Holy Spirit was anointing them to say. And then the Holy Spirit moved the Apostle Peter to stand up and to share this message. "Listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my Spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire, clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark. The moon will turn blood red before that great and glorious day of Yahweh arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of Yahweh will be saved." That's a quote from Joel 2:28-32. And Peter is quoting this in Acts 2:14-21 to say that's what's happening here today. This is the fulfillment of what God had predicted. And what a great witness. You know, it's a lot of times people think, well, when he's talking about prophecy, he's talking about telling the future. And that's not true. You go over into 1 Corinthians chapter 14, you find out that prophecy is the way God works in teaching us. And, you know, we can quote Scripture, but it doesn't mean we're going to understand it properly. And we can start explaining it, but are we explaining it the way God wants it to be understood? That's where the Spirit needs to give us the guidance so that we can at least be more on target. Doesn't mean we're going to be perfect, but we're going to be a lot closer to what he wants us to say. And that's what he is saying here, and this was what God was doing in giving the Holy Spirit. Peter continued to preach his message that day, and 3,000 people became Christians. They were then scattered throughout Judea and Samaria and continued to grow, and they became thousands of people. This is because of what God was doing when he started this through the Holy Spirit. And that is why we need to, and I mean, it's unfortunate that the Holy Spirit has become so controversial, but this is the way the devil works. He'd rather split us up and divide us, get us arguing about what God is doing, rather than seeking God to try to understand what he's doing and to help us. You know, that has been my experience. And while, you know, I've been through a lot of different controversies and arguments, started with my mother and her sister, you know, they had different ideas, and it would cause division. But that's the misguided reality of what the devil wants to do in us. And what we have to do is keep our focus on Jesus and then seek to be filled with the Spirit. And as Jesus said to his disciples, and he says to us, you will hear the message from me. That's the key. And it's one thing, again, as I say, to read the scriptures, but it's another to make sure that they're being properly applied. As I was thinking about this, I was thinking how the how we have a spiritual armor. And I've shared this before, but it is so important. In fact, as I read these scriptures, you know, it's important to understand them. Not just because we know them, but do we understand them? Are we putting them into practice? Here's what Paul said to the Ephesians. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. You know, that's one of the things we need to realize, folks. We're fighting a battle on two planes. We're fighting one here, and we're fighting one in the spiritual realm. Now, I want to say this. I'm familiar with politics. I subscribed to different documents, one of them being a newspaper, the Washington Times, and I read them. I get the Freelance Star, which is got a different perspective. But, you know, I only read those so I can keep up with what the devil's doing. And that way I'm able to have God's wisdom to have a better understanding. But I want you to know this. Our hope is not in the political system. I praise God that he raised this nation up, and it has been a powerful ministry through the years. But we also know it is going to become more evil, because that's what he said. And eventually it will become like we read about the prostitute of Babylon, which represents the world system, Revelation chapter 18, and they will destroy everything that they can, but Jesus is coming, and he's going to bring it all to an end, folks. He is the one that's going to bring victory, not some political leader. In fact, it's interesting there, it talks about the Antichrist and being up, you know, the one guy that thinks he's going to save everything. I don't know fully exactly what all the Antichrist is. I know it's a spirit as well as probably a potential person who is going to make people think, oh, yeah, we're going to be okay now. No. It's only going to happen because we are trusting Jesus. That's what will bring an end to it. But in the meantime, we want to make sure we have on our proper armor. And so this armor helps us fight against these spiritual forces that are in the heavenly realms as well as here on earth. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, keep standing. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert. Always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Now, as I said, great scripture. But the question is, have we put it on? And by the way, when you get up in the morning, you need to get it back on because you're going to fight it that day. And we have to constantly be seeking the Holy Spirit to help us in the process. And so when we're faithful in all of this, and we persevere until the end, we will receive the crown of righteousness. This was the assurance that Paul had because he understood the revelation from Jesus and had that assurance that he knew that because he was sealed by the living Holy Spirit, that he would receive the prize. Paul knows that Timothy, as well as all believers, are going to be persecuted for their faith, just like he had been. He doesn't know if it'll be as bad, but he knows that's going to happen. And so Paul mentions several circumstances here, how he was opposed by Alexander the metal worker and how others had abandoned him. But not only did he know he was going to receive the reward, but he knew we could too. We just have to be faithful so that we keep persevering. And then one day we will stand before Jesus and we will hear the best words we'll ever have heard at that point. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into my kingdom. What a wonderful thing that'll be to hear. You know, Jesus gave us this great message about rewards and consequences right before his crucifixion. Here's a great message, and I'm going to share the whole thing. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep and the goats. He will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left hand. Then the king will say to those of his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me." Then these righteous ones will reply, "Lord, when do we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When do we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will say, "I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me." Then the king will turn to those on the left and say, "Away from you, away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. For I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you didn't give me a drink. I was a stranger and you didn't invite me into your home. I was naked and you didn't give me clothing. I was sick and in prison and you didn't visit me." Then they'll reply, "Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and not help you?" And he will answer, "I tell you the truth, when you refused to help the least of these my brothers and sisters, you were refusing to help me." And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life. Matthew 25:31-46. Now, folks, that's going to happen. And I'll tell you one thing, I certainly want to be on the right side. And I know you do too. And we can. We can have the assurance that we will be in the right position when Jesus returns so that we will hear his wonderful confirmation. So while we're familiar with a lot of these scriptures, and I share them maybe a lot of times because they just bring out so much of the truth, and when I'm in a situation where they fit, I have to do that. And so that my last scripture I want to share with you is the one that I've shared a number of times before, but it's the Hebrew writer giving us this wonderful message about how God is with us. So there is a special rest still waiting for the people of God. For all who have entered into God's rest have rested from their labors, just as God did after creating the world. So let us do our best to enter that rest. But if we disobey God, as the people of Israel did, we will fall. For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we are accountable. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Hebrews 4:9-16. So what great benefits God is giving us, and what a great future we have waiting for us. And the key here is to make sure that we are standing strong for him, seeking to follow his leading, understanding the message of the scriptures, which the Holy Spirit then will help us to know and to do. You know, Paul mentioned these different details about his personal situation because, you know, he's writing a letter to Timothy to encourage him, but he's also writing it to us to encourage us. That's why it's scripture. That's why we still have it, because God wants us to stay encouraged in the circumstances of our lives. And that is why these kinds of letters and these kinds of messages give us the help we need to continue on the way we should. So, stay focused on Scripture, seeking the Holy Spirit, and we will have the guidance we need to accomplish the mission that God has given us. Craig? Oh, yeah. Glad you remember that. I'll take that. Didn't need it, but I'll take it. Let me get this out of the way.